And of course, we continue with your extended news at noon. Welcome back to the program. Tracy Morgan in with you. Someone we have not talked to for the past many months, just schedules did not really line up. And next thing we know, it's been months since we've talked to the city council. And so we wanted to reach out to Mayor Ben Smith. He is on the phone with me right now. Mayor Smith, Mayor Ben, how are you doing today?
Call me Ben, Tracy. That's really fun. Thanks for having me on.
I usually talk to Dave every month, and I appreciate your time and being on today because we haven't really gotten to talk to City Council. And let me ask you first, because we haven't gotten to talk to you about COVID and how that's affected your meetings, first of all, because you all are still doing Zoom. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah, we have a few members of council who preferred not to meet in person. And, you know, thanks to the technology we have today, that's totally possible. It does, you know, sometimes create some issues, and maybe every now and then somebody's mic goes out or somebody forgets to unmute themselves. But for the most part, it's gone well. Still able to do normal business and get things done. You know, there's just that little bit of something different whenever you're meeting on Zoom as opposed to, 3 feet from each other,
right,
in the council chambers.
I think we're all living that right now. You know, we're all just trying to get used to where the Zoom buttons are and what to press and the mics and the cameras. But has that impeded your work in any way in your discussions or bringing up any topics or even people trying to be a part of these meetings as a part of the discussion portion of your meetings?
No, I don't think it's impeded anything. Like I said, it's made some things take a little longer as far as, like, you know, instead of just being able to open your mouth and say something, you got to kind of get everybody's attention that you're going to start talking on the Zoom meeting. But as far as people being able to discuss, you know, for better or for worse, we don't have a whole lot of people come to the meetings when we have them in person normally anyway. Usually it's a couple of reporters and maybe a citizen or two, which is, you know, disappointing. I would like to see more community participation, but even in these Zoom meetings, we've still had people be able to tune in and either just, you know, sit there and listen and take in what's going on or participate in the meeting as well. I think it's actually made it more approachable for some people to be able to do that. They don't have to go and sit in the room with us and able to voice what they want to say. And, you know, in some cases, there's people who can't leave the house because of one reason or another. A lot of times, you know, childcare or something like that. So it's enabled them to be able to listen at least from the comfort of their home. So there's some not good things about Zoom meetings, like I mentioned before, but there's certainly some advantages to it as well.
Yeah. And so since we don't have any real end date in what we're going through, I'm sure that these are going to be the meetings throughout the next many months as you go forward.
Yeah. You know, usually every council meeting, we kind of assess on what everybody wants to do. Because, like I said, we not only have some people in the city building who work there who have higher concerns, but also some people in council who may have higher concerns. So we just try to be considerate of those people. And, you know, it's also, we have our council chambers are small. So even though I'm not 100% sure, you know, nobody's really sure what the reality is of the situation, it may be irresponsible to try to pack, you know, 40 people into a small room at this point in the game. So, yeah, we just try to keep up with things and stay abreast and ultimately just respect each other's wishes as far as we can.
So let me ask you about the city. What has been the feedback been like for you from those that are within the city? Because I've been talking to a lot of different industries, a lot of different businesses, and different individuals have different concerns, especially our restaurants right now. Tourism, of course, big concern there. What are you hearing from those in downtown in the way of businesses, and how are you trying to help them?
Well, the number one thing I hear is people will come to me with you know, complaints or something about bigger businesses that are outside the city and not maybe following the protocols they thought they should have been. And I usually try to pass those on to the township manager and everything if that's the case. But, you know, for anybody wondering, I don't have any sway or say over Target or Walmart or anything like that.
Okay.
But as far as the downtown businesses, you know, a lot of them, and it's no secret, I'm a business owner myself. A lot of us are struggling. I mean, it's the reality of the situation. Sometimes we're struggling because people have gotten used to not going out, not going shopping, doing all their stuff online, ordering in, that kind of thing. And other times we're struggling because people do want to go out and we're prohibited from having more than so many people in different establishments. 25% currently for restaurants, and the target's always changing for everybody. So, I mean, I've heard from a lot of different business owners that it's certainly been a struggle. We have a few here and there who are either have already made the decision that they're going to close or talking seriously about it. Obviously, those are heartbreaking things. You know, it's you sink your whole life into your business, and then something outside of your control prohibits you from being able to continue on that dream. So really, one of the things that, I mean, what are we doing as far as to help them? Unfortunately, all of our efforts, both through the state legislature and directly to the governor, we're kind of the lowest man on the totem pole. You don't get much smaller government than a third-class city as far as people who will possibly actually be listened to. So a lot of our requests have fallen on deaf ears. Whether that's for better or for worse, I don't know. You know, ultimately none of us are scientists. I don't know, maybe there's some scientists listening, but most of us aren't scientists. We don't know the reality of the situation, but what we are asking is for some relief. And you know, that's going on behind the scenes. And we want to be a unified council. Not everybody on council agrees the best way to do things, and that's good. That's typical. You don't want to have a echo chamber of ideas, but you know, we're doing what we can as far as the city, but in reality, anything much lower than the state legislature doesn't really seem to have a voice that's listened to at this moment.
So have you started the conversations, and I won't ask the specifics because, as you mentioned, the target keeps changing, so we haven't even gotten through this, let alone to know what's on the other side. But have you started conversations of what comes on the other side and how to help the city?
Yeah, we've talked about that as far as what happens. Unfortunately, the city, just like the businesses, is in a situation where if people aren't working or they're not, specifically if they're not earning income, if they're receiving unemployment benefits or something like that, that's obviously great for them to be able to continue their bills. But as far as earning the income, that does decrease the city's spending. Income and spending. And so, you know, that specifically we've trimmed all the fat we can trim. You know, we've eliminated over years, not just recently, but over years, all the positions that are not necessarily able to, or not necessarily needed, day to day all the time. So really what it starts cutting into, the less income people are making, the less tax they're paying on that income, and therefore the less nice things, I guess, the roads, the new projects that maybe were going to happen in parks or something like that. Those are things that will suffer eventually. Now, we haven't seen a drastic hit in income this year, but I think that because I think a lot of people were working from home, but I think what we'll see next year is some of the business privilege taxes and things like that decrease, because that's a year delayed on the reporting on that. So yeah. It's hard to tell what we're going to do. Coming out of this, obviously, if we could, we'd just say, hey, everybody, here's a grant for X amount of money to get your business back up and running. But that's not a reality at the moment.
Mayor Ben Smith, of course, the mayor of the city of Butler, talking about just the current conditions. We haven't talked to the city council for quite a few months. And let me ask you, is there anything going on downtown? I know the farmers market is still underway. How has that been going? How has that been received?
Yeah, I spoke to Councilman Dandoy, who before he was on council managed the farmers market and still does at this point. He said the farmers market's booming. People are coming to get their groceries, get their plants for their garden, et cetera. A lot of people are more interested, it seems like, in local produce right now and in buying local, buying things that they don't have to go to one of the big chain stores to get their groceries. More than before. So obviously they have precautions in place. You know, they're trying to make sure there's, I just hate hearing the word so many times, but you know, the appropriate social distancing and things like that happening, down there. So they have a few less vendors, but there's, you know, he said that many of them are selling out at this point, which is great. That's great for those business owners that are choosing to have their wares there at the farmers market. That's great that people are discovering it or revisiting it at this point. Most of the events in downtown have been canceled, and none of them have been at the decision of the city. We've kind of left that to the event holders to decide if they want their event did you want or not. And I think pretty much everything at this point has either been canceled or postponed. We're able to have some baseball games, of course, down at Pullman Park, that the Parks and Recreation Authority, or the Stadium Authority, as it's more well known, has been putting on over the last couple months. And those have been going well. They're at reduced capacity, but they're still having good attendance for those. So there's things happening. Obviously, all your local businesses, whether retail or restaurant or whatever the case is, still need your support. They're still here in town. But as far as events and different things like that, pretty much the rest of the year has been, canceled by the event holders, the event organizers.
I'll have to echo your sentiments on folks having a resurgence of an interest in buying local. I was talking, as I've said, to many businesses and organizations around the area. And one in particular, local farmer, we'll just put it that way, was saying the same thing. Like, he's been getting calls even as far away as from Pittsburgh when you're talking local. That can mean local because then people know where their food is coming from, and that seems to be the interest.
Sure.
Wanting to know that, not only helping local individuals, but knowing where that food comes from. So, yeah, I just wanted to echo that seems to be, and that's good because then people are thinking about who is local and where can I get my corn? What farm can I go
exactly.
to instead of, going to a big box store at this time. But okay, so let me ask you a couple other things because I know you only have a couple of minutes and I do appreciate your time. Let's talk about some news that we aired last week because of your last meeting. The city having an AED for the Pullman Park area, the Michelle Krill Field. Can you comment on that for us?
Yeah, so the fire department was able to receive a grant from Firehouse Subs. Which is, what their grants and everything go for a lot of the times, to update the AEDs that we carry on the trucks or that we have in the fire station and police station. And so those were updated, and then we had some that still have some useful life left on them. So one of the council members, I'm not 100% sure who, but I think it was Councilman Walter, had the idea or was approached with moving one of the AEDs that were still working but no longer needed at the fire station, moving that down to the stadium authority or to the stadium and putting that under the care of the people who run the stadium so that it's there if it's needed. Obviously, we all hope it's not needed at any point, but if it's needed, we want to be able to provide that. So it's on loan to them until the end of its marked useful life. Which is another about year and a half. And then, of course, they didn't have one prior, so it'll be up to them to decide if they want one after. But we thought it was silly to just, stick it in a storage closet or
right.
something like that and not use it while it still had some life left on it.
Absolutely. And the other story that we had last week on Friday, I do believe, was a grant for the Memorial Park area for the old pool house, taking that down, covering or filling in that swimming pool. Any reaction from the public from those plans? Are people wanting that to be taken down, or do they feel that it's a part of the history of Butler?
Yeah, so I haven't had a single call or email about it, or a letter written or anything. So I don't really know, but I know that this has been something that over for 10 years at least. Probably more like 15 has been talked about. If we're not going to be able to repair the pool or reopen the pool, we should clear it out and make it useful space. Whether that's for the time being just a grassy area or a playground or something like that. So for the last few years, council has been talking about different ways to do that. And of course, when you tear down an old building or in this instance, the pool and the building, there's a lot of remediation and things like that that have to occur. So that's more expensive than you would think. It's not nearly as expensive as reopening the pool. Reopening the pool, we're talking, upwards of $1 million plus running costs, whereas tearing down the pool and putting it back into useful life, the area there, is much, much, much a fraction of that.
Yeah.
So there was a grant that we applied for, about $100,000, a $10,000 city match, with that, which can include some of the work being done in kind or the engineering or something like that as well. So the people that have talked to me in years past, some say, well, don't shut down the pool. And I say, well, it's already shut down. They don't maybe necessarily understand that it's been closed for almost 2 decades at this point. and it would take over $1 million to recuperate. Usually when you explain that to people, they're pretty understanding. They understand the reality. There have been a lot of people who have actually advocated to us to clear that out and do something different in that space. So I know there have been efforts over past years with past city councils to do something, and working with John Evans, our code enforcement officer and zoning officer, as well as Jeff Smith, the director of parks. They got that rolling, and we're able to find that grant. Now, that's not to say that we'll get that grant. It may be awarded to someone else, but we have worked pretty closely with the county and the CDC to make certain that, we had a fairly good shot before we spent the resources to apply.
Yeah, it's interesting. I've done that myself, where it's just in your brain that something is in a particular place in Butler, and it could be 20 years later, and you think, isn't it still there?
Isn't that
building in the same place? It's just something, time goes by so quickly that it's very common to be able to do that. And time does go by so quickly, but it just seems like it's a Groundhog Day, I guess, for the past many months. Any final thoughts you'd like to leave with us as we continue through this pandemic and we're trying to keep our county, I say surviving, I think we used to say thriving, a few months ago, and we want to get back to that point, but it's just difficult right now. So any final thoughts before I let you go, Ben?
No, I mean, I would say that kind of at this point, we're unfortunately at the behest, or unfortunately or fortunately, depends on how you look at it. We're kind of at the behest of people outside of our own community. I find that somewhat unfortunate, because I think that our community knows what our community needs and wants, and the both the opportunities and the dangers of certain things. But it's also good to an extent, because you have people who obviously have many more resources and everything to investigate the things. So I would say that as you go about your days, I say try to support your local businesses. Try to support your neighbor. Check in on your neighbor, especially neighbors that maybe you don't see as often normally, to make sure they're okay. Make sure that, one, a lot of people who live alone may be very lonely. They may be sick, and you wouldn't know that unless you check in on them. But continue to support your community. Support your local businesses. And if you have something to say, make sure to contact. Surprisingly, somehow, and maybe this is because people aren't going out as much, we've had less calls and emails to the city building during the last few months than ever since I've been in office.
Interesting.
So I would
Are people not thinking to call, or is it just not top of mind because they have other concerns right now, or why very little reaction?
I don't know. I've had some individuals say, so and so was saying they don't hear from you. And I said, well, have they tried to contact me? And they said, well, I don't think so. I'm like, well, I'm not really. The radio was on a hiatus from our show, so I wasn't on there. Anytime the newspaper calls me, I talk to them. So if people have concerns, I want them to feel free to reach out to talk to us, to write a letter, write an email. Leave a voicemail. Come to a city council meeting. They're on Zoom. It couldn't be easier. You can do it, on your while you're sitting at the grocery store waiting for somebody to shop while you're in the car, and you can pull up your phone and join in on the Zoom meeting. At this point especially, there's very many ways for people to express either support or dismay at city council. So, I want to definitely encourage people that if they have concerns, or if they have things that they want to express, that they like things that are the way they're going. Obviously, those aren't the calls you normally get. It's usually only the people who are have a bone to pick that call. But there's many avenues to do that, whether it's, like I said, through email, through phone, through meetings, whatever the case is. We're open. We're always willing to talk to people.
What's the best contact?
So I would encourage people to do that.
What's the best contact? I know you're throwing out the fact of an address for letters and, of course, phone numbers and emails. What's one place that they could go that they could get all that information?
If they go to the City of Butler's website, it's cityofbutler.org, right on the main page. There's the phone number. If you call in, there's a phone tree. Usually, Anna will answer the phone if you, unless you know your direct extension. She'll then forward it on to people. The best way for me personally to get a hold of me, typically, and because of some of the staffing arrangements in the office, I'm not in the office every day during business hours. I'm usually there in the evening. But if you send me an email, mayorbsmith@cityofbutler.org, I'll usually respond within 24 hours or less.
Because sometimes you don't know the problems that are out there if you're not made aware of them, right?
You got it. Exactly. Yeah. That's one of the, I'd say one of the frustrations is, you know, everybody talks and stuff. You hear things, you know, so-and-so's upset about this or so-and-so thinks you did this and did you. If they want to talk to me, they have the avenues to do so. And that's certainly, I encourage that.
Yeah. Mayor Ben Smith, of course, the mayor of the city of Butler. Thank you so much for your time. And we hope not to let the many months pass before we talk to you again. So we hope to hear from you again here very soon. Thank you so much for your time.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.